أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وفرقان الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us the ability to stand in front of Him on the Day of Judgment with our heads up high in the presence of Masumin alayhi salam. On this auspicious occasion, we'd like to send our salutations and blessings towards the 12th Imam from the deepest of our heart on the birthday of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And we ask, making Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam as our wasila, as our medium towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He allows us to understand what dua is, what sijda is, and what ibadat is. Quran is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the embodiment of Quran are Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Quran speaks, and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam act. Quran teaches, and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam take those teachings and put it in practicality. The message of Quran is clear. The seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is clear. If the message of Quran was not clear, it is against the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wanted us to have a message, if that message was not clear to us, or was not something that we could understand, then that defies the purpose of sending a messenger and a message. And the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is also clear. Because if their seerah was not clear, it defies the purpose of sending the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth as role models for all of us. The verse that I recited for you, we recite this verse quite often. And for some of us, it might be new that it is actually a verse of Quran. And this verse of Quran is recited specifically as a prayer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we feel a sense of disturbance, pain, suffering, frustration inside of our heart. When we feel these emotions, we remind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the message that He gave to us, of the verse that He gave to us, that He is the only one. He is the only one who can relieve a person in pain, suffering, frustration, depression, stress. And He is the one who accepts that person's prayer and gets that person out of the bad and evil and frustration and depression that he's in. But we are also reminding Him that we are the ones who are feeling this way. Do we have to tell Him how we feel? Do we have to tell Him that we are the ones who are mustarib? We are the ones who are in iztarab. Do we have to tell Him? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being thrown in that fire that 3 miles no birds could fly. As he's in the air, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi comes to him and says, "Here, grab my hand. I would like to save you." Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi says, "That's okay. If you try to consider ourselves, even if a mushrik, a fasik, a fajr, an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and says, here's my hand, and I will save you from the troubles that you're in, how many of us will be jumping on the opportunity? Here's Hazrat Jibreel alayhi wasalam, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the angels who is highly decorated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, okay, you don't want my help? Then ask your Lord. So, no, I'm not going to ask. Say, why are you not going to ask? He says, because he knows my condition. He knows my condition, I do not need to ask. The one who sees me, sees that his abd, his slave, is going to be burned alive in a fire which is massive, that there is no chance of him surviving. If he wishes for me to live, he will make me live. If he wishes for me to die, I will die. Do we need to tell him that we are muttarib? We don't need to tell him. Here in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the condition for your prayers to be accepted. The condition for your prayers to be accepted is that you have to have iftirab inside of your nafs. We recited Dua Kumail. There's a difference between reciting dua and asking for dua. Dua parna aur cheez hai, dua mangana aur cheez hai. اونی کے دوارہ خوندے از خدا ہیچ نہ گرفتے ولی اگر از خدا از تاہ دلشون از خدا خواستے چیزی را خدایشون را بیدے. If someone has recited the dua, he's not going to get anything unless he asks for it. There's a difference, right? Reciting and dua ko padhna aur dua ko mangna, isme bahut fark hai. If you're reading dua, you're not muttarib. You're not feeling that inside. When the tears starts flowing, when you feel inside that there is something that requires the immediate attention of your Lord. That without this immediate attention of your Lord, what you are inside, what you need, you will not be given. And that there is no one else who can give that to you. In a comfortable environment, under the AC, the fans going, you know, sitting down and no tears coming down of our eyes, no istirab, no frustration, everything is okay. That is not dua. Who is able to say this dua? The sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that al-muttarib is Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. Paraya khushnu di Imam Zaman Abul Antar salawat. Allah salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. The person who is the most mustarib, the person who is in the most saddest and most painful situation right now on the face of this earth out of the 7 billion people, is the 12th Imam. The 12th Imam is in that condition that when he calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to him. And he takes him out of that feeling of being depressed. Imagine for 1200 years, you have to live, and you have to see little kids who are only because they are Muslim being blown up in pieces. But you would have to see people in Paya Chenar being skinned alive with knives. That you would have to see the little kids running away from the white smoke and the falling phosphorus on their skins while the skins and the meat burns to their bones. Do you see when he comes towards, his attention comes towards the places of worship, that he finds that those places of worship have nothing but self-love, of self-projection, fighting, abusing each other, where people do not attend to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they come to submit to their own will. Who's going to decide? Who is going to decide? How is he going to decide? What is he going to recite? What is he going to tell us? Do you think that is not frustrating? Someone who is in so much pain, the sixth Imam says that when he calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives what he wants. And there's one prayer that he's been asking for the last 1200 years, which is conditional approval is on the ummah. And that prayer of his is that when is this ummah going to align, unite, submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and come to that feeling of conviction where they will be able to stand against oppression and want to be just. And that prayer for the last 1200 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not accepted. Why? Because it is conditioned on us. We as individuals, we need to understand that our actions not only directly influence us, but influence the community and they influence the rest of the world. We are in one universe. We are, okay, where are you sitting right now? Your Shuma Kuja Nashistid? Moment Center. Khub. A Moment Center mein nahi baithe. Aap space mein baithe. You're not in Moment Center, you're in space. You would say why? If you were to, this blue sky that you see is just gases that have given this color. It's ozone. In reality, you are in space. You are in space, in that universe that does not have a boundary, that only has that boundary which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. You are part of this universe. All of us. If you were to go above, you say, I have gone into space. No, you are already in space. You're on this earth which is revolving continuously on its axis and also around the sun. So you are actually sitting down in the mahfil, in the place of this whole universe. Now, if you can realize this, realize how small you are. You see, when the plane goes, when I took the plane, that CN Tower that I was reading its Fazal yesterday, that CN Tower which is that big of a infrastructure in Toronto, that CN Tower started to look smaller, smaller, smaller to the point where it disappeared. Imagine if someone was looking at the end of this universe. there are so many different galaxies with different planets and stars. If someone was at that end of the universe looking at you, what value do you have? You're not even a speck on this universe. Yet when we allow our nafs to take the better of us, we become a person who says, Ana Rabbakumul A'ala. We become pharaohs. We become those people who say that I am your highest of lords. Self-love is totally against the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Sajjad al-Islam taught us. He taught us in regards to prayers, in regards to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regards to sijda, how you prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prostration, that movement of the body, is the highest level of humility that the body can show. There's body language, right? Body language, Muslim. I don't have to say anything. Body language. I don't have to say anything. My body language is speaking for itself. Everybody has signs. Body language is 70% of your communication. The 30%, 8% is words, and 12% is actually the tone of your voice. A lot of the time, the reason why miscommunication happens or people get upset with each other is not the words. It's actually the tone of voice. And more importantly, it's their body language. Actuality, when you go in Raku, is body language. The other person who's looking at you, who doesn't understand, will understand this. When you have bowed down, what does that mean? That you are saying that I'm humble. But when he sees you in sijda, what he understands? That person will understand that right now it's not just humility, but you are saying you are nothing. You are saying that you are not even a speck in this universe. That your own value is nothing compared to the magnanimity of this universe. That in front of that being who created everything, you are nothing. Yet this nothing, who is in sijda, commits so many sins that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take you on those sins, the punishment of that would destroy the whole universe. That speck on this face of this universe, who's nothing, who's gone into that body language that says that he's nothing, is committing those sins, that if the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on this whole universe would be destroyed. What are those sins? The body language is saying, because you are forced, but the mind and the heart is thinking of someone else. Is thinking of trying to find the keys that you lost. Is thinking about this person who just told you something, how are you going to get back to him? This wife of yours that told you this, how are you going to teach her a lesson? Actually, it's probably the other way around, is that the wife is thinking that this thing that he said to me, how am I going to teach him a lesson? The speck who's nothing is committing those sins. When you go in prostration, Sayyidu Sajideen. Learn from the leaders of those people who are humble. When, after Karbala, the 35 years that Imam was alive, before prayers, when he would start doing wadu, his face would go yellow. His body would start shaking. The water when he was putting, his hands would shake. With slowly, slowly going towards the place where he would stand, with tears in his eyes, he would say that Allahu Akbar, which in all of the Abideen, he became Zainul Abideen. He became the beauty. He became the source of beauty for those people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This 35 years that he lived, there was another form of worship that he did. And it is a form of worship. If he saw water, he cried. You drink water so easily. But he didn't. He looked at water and he remembered the thirst of Bibi Sakina. He remembered that my little sister, who was in Karbala, how she used to cry and even talk to her uncle whose head was severed on a spear. He remembered that. This what I'm doing today, giving you a lecture, is actually his sunnat. He used to recite, he used to tell people about religion, and in the end, he would do the masaib. He was a walking, talking reminder of Karbala. If he saw shade, he would cry. If he went to the marketplace, that marketplace would make him cry. This is also his seerat. This is also his way of life. Would you do that? We only do that maximum 10 days. Maximum 2.5 months. And people are tired. We have cried enough. Now we are going to be happy. He did that for 35 years. We are looking for the happiness which is superficial. If I have a smile on my face, you look, oh, he's so happy. You get money, you feel happiness. You have health, you feel happiness. Happiness is not that. If you had $1 million, hypothetical situation, you guys are more, money is something which everybody gets happy with. Let's say there was a halal lottery, which by the way, there isn't any. If you're thinking that I know of some halal lottery, I don't know. See, if there was halal lottery, and you played, and you won, you know, let's say $40 million. And with joy and happiness, you greeted. Oh, wow, you know, I won so much money. Next day, I come and see you. You're sad, you're upset. What happened? I lost 40 million. Somebody came, stole it. Now I'm unhappy. That's not happiness and sadness. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Eid is that day for a mu'min in which day he has not sinned. That is the true happiness. If that person won $40 million, but that person had disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in acquiring that $40 million or spending in that $40 million, he is not liable for happiness, but he should mourn. The day that you have not sinned is the day that you can truly be happy. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincere apology. And if you have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincere apology, ask Him to let you go out of this earth. If you asked Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm really sorry. ہماری توبہ بھی ایسی ہوتی نا, خدا معاف کر دینا بس ٹھیک ہے, کر بھی دینا ایسے کیا, اتنا ہو گئی بس, معافی ہو گئی بس ٹھیک ہے, اب ہم آگے چلتے ہیں. ہم تو ہیں خطا کے پتلے, خطا ہم کرتے رہتے ہیں, ہمیں تو نے بنایا ایسے, چلو پھر مانگ لیں گے معافی جب دوبارہ گناہ کیا. That is not توبہ, that is not asking for forgiveness. When you ask for forgiveness and true forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you, ask Him to take you off of this earth. Because you would go straight into heaven. Well, he forgave you for all the sins that you committed. What's the best time to go from this earth? You are like a baby, newborn baby. No sins. The best time to go. But if you haven't been able to ask for true forgiveness, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you in this earth, even if it takes 10,000 years. Life and death to us. Okay. Can you die? No, you can't die. I'm talking to immortals here. There's no mortal in this room. You're all immortal. Accept this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, before his body was made, and he's going to keep you for eternity. You're immortal. You've never died and you will never die. What will happen is that you will change rooms. You'll change countries. You all have migrated from Pakistan or India, okay, or Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan. You have migrated, right? Or, I don't know if you were born here. If you were born here, then you still migrated. You migrated from the womb of your mother into this world. You migrated from one country into another country. So you all migrated. Now this immigration, this migration, do you consider that as death? Do you consider it as death? No. You don't consider it as death, but you say that I am going supposedly to a better place. Immigration is always you go to a better place. Unfortunately, those people who sold this country to us told us that the dollars grow on the trees. And all you have to do is go there. It's very easy picking. You just go any tree there and you grab the dollars and send it back to us. And if you don't send it back to us, we will be upset with you. They forgot to tell us that in this migration that we have done, we are in a place of diseases of the soul. That if we were to migrate here, SARS and AIDS and all of these diseases are nothing compared to the diseases that you have here of the soul. Nobody told us. But we migrated. Before we migrated, there was a place called Homeland Security you have here? I don't know what you have here. There was a check post, an immigration officer. He said, wasn't my parents gave me the name Sayyid Hassan Mushtaba Ali Radhavi. So the first experience was he was saying, Sayyid Hassan Mushtaba Ali Radhavi Rizvi. And he was expecting five people to come. And all he saw was me, 15 years old, not very tall. He goes, where's the other ones? I'm like, well, there's no other ones. It's my name. He looked at my documents. Documents were proper. Okay. When you migrate from this world to the next world, there's also going to be immigration. And that immigration, who is going to take you by force? My parents brought me here. I didn't come on my own will. My parents brought me here. So you are going to be brought towards that immigration by Hazrat Malakul Maut, alayhi salatu wasalam, for the safety and his darajat to be increased. Please recite a salawat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him safe. The task that he's doing is an important task. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him greet me in a good manner. I have the utmost respect out of all the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Hazrat Malakul Maut alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's not because I know I'm going to meet him. It's because he's doing a task which no other angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were willing to do. And I respect him for that. That he submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where the angels were not able to do. I respect him. So he's going to take me forcefully towards that immigration. And who's going to be at that place? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, 124,000, all the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And they're going to say, check my paperwork. If the paperwork are not proper, they will tell the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take me to my house, which is not going to be very pleasant. But I'm only immigrating. If my paperwork is proper, they will take me to that place where I would live forever with Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam, with Anbiya alayhi as-salam, with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you tell me, is this death of ours death or migration? It's migration. And when you migrate, the first people that you will see are Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam. You go for ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi as-salam to Karbala. True? You go for ziyarat. Why are you going? So you can go close to the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi as-salam and ask. Death is the most beautiful thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. It's the most beautiful thing that He has created. In reality, there's nothing else. Life is also great, but death is the greatest thing that He has created. Would we not want to die? Would I not want to immigrate to a place where the first people I will see is Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Anbiya alayhi salam? Why should I be afraid of it? The biggest fear that this culture and this society puts inside of you, and the biggest fear that was taken out by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, is the fear of death. Yazid put the fear of death in the people of Kufa. Yazid put the fear of death in the people of Sham. And Imam Hussain sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the fear of death out in the hearts of his followers. Where a 14-year-old teenager says, Ya Mawla, are we on haq? Certainly. Then death is sweeter to me than honey. Then death is sweeter to me than honey. And Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they take this death, the feeling and the fear of death out and make people alive. We are a nation who's afraid of death, and that is the reason why we are being oppressed. All the people around Israel, all the Arabs around Israel, if they were to come outside of their houses and throw a bucket of water, According to Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah, Israel would get flooded. But when there is millions of dead people around, how do you become dead? Is when you are afraid of death. How do you become alive? We're not afraid of death. And this society wants you to be afraid of death. And this fear is so... Okay, I can be afraid of death. Does that mean that I will not die? No matter how much afraid I'm going to be, I'm still going to die. So in reality, you cannot be afraid of death. If someone says to you that the reason why I'm afraid of death is because of my actions. Because of your actions, okay. When do you think you will be satisfied? When do you think that you will be satisfied that you've done enough? Never. Do you know that Dua Kumail, I have today more than an hour. Unfortunately for you. Just let me know when I'm close to that. Dua Kumail is the dua of... Does anybody know? Dua Kumail is the dua of Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam taught the dua of Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam to Hazrat Kumail, and Hazrat Kumail taught to other individuals. So in reality, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam is probably around 4,000 or 5,000 years old. He's still alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him alive. And wherever he is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him happy. He's alive and he's going to be a peer, or he's going to be one of the helpers of the 12th Imam. He's saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I haven't been able to do anything. Make my body, my hal, my everything become one so that I can submit to your will and I can do what you are asking me to do. Someone who's 5,000 years old should think that he has something in his Namai Amal, in his book of actions. He's saying, I have nothing. You try to read Dua Kumail with the understanding, you will see that this dua that Hazrat Khizr is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he's not satisfied. He's saying that, you know, the dunya gave me this, deceived me, and got me to do the things that were not proper. I did not do the things that you had asked me to do. And I have become in a state where a person is asking you in the state of complete wretchedness. And if you are going to put me in hell, in that hellfire, I will cry and I will say to the people that you are clean. I will shout in there that you are the one who gave me life. You are the one who gave me everything. You are the one who is kareem, who is merciful. Hazrat Khizr is saying after 4,000 or 5,000 years. Do you think you can ever be ready? Dua. What is the meaning of dua? Just 5 or 10 more minutes. What is the meaning of dua? No, it's not supplication. It's not communication. If you can get the meaning of dua, I will have everybody recite a salawat for you. Inam jo hai wo pehle le le, jawab ka shayad na pata ho. Dua means to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua means pukar. Dua means pukar. When you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma. When you say, oh Allah. Oh Allah. You are calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You haven't said anything yet. Allahumma means that, oh Allah, meaning what? I want you to listen to me. As if I was to say, you know, someone's name, sen ara fakhar ya fakhar, what am I doing? I'm calling him. I will call him, and then afterwards, once his attention is towards me, I will ask him. So that's why you say Allahumma, and then you say inni as'aluka. First you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you say that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what I want. But do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the call of anybody? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the call of who? أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only answers the call of that person who is muzdir, who has pain and suffering, sadness inside of his heart. Then he says, yes, Hassan. And then I say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would you forgive my sins? Would you give me sustenance spiritually and materialistic sustenance? Would you allow everybody to be healthy? Then what are we doing? Then I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who abuses people, you just heard the saying of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Someone who abuses people by tongue or by hand, he calls, he says, Allahumma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't reply. He didn't say, I don't want attention towards you. Why is our prayers do not get accepted? Because of those reasons that Imam said. You want your prayers to be accepted, first you have to have the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give his attention to those people who delay by purpose, or God forbid, who do not pray namaz. Do you know that it is haram to have your salah go qada? It is haram. It is forbidden. You cannot make any of your salah qada. You cannot let go of any of your prayers. There is no excuse for not praying namaz. Ya Allah, I am in a state of my whole body doesn't move except of my eyelids. Can I be excused from prayer? No, you cannot. Can you move your eyelids? Yes, I can. Then it is wajib on you to pray namaz. That movement of ruku and sijda will be through your eyelids. Someone who will make qada of fajr prayer, it is as if he has destroyed Khana Kaaba. He will get that punishment of someone who destroys Khana Kaaba. Doing qada of prayers, and then you are saying, Allahumma. Oh Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer the call of that person. In order for us to become those people whose du'as are going to be accepted, you have to do the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, you are follower for his, and your namaz goes qaza? That you are a follower of the fourth imam and your namaz is going qaza? La ilaha illallah. You are a follower of the sixth imam and you are taking prayer lightly? La ilaha illallah, where the sixth imam says in his dying words are that someone who takes prayers lightly will not receive an intercession on the day of judgment from us. La ilaha illallah. That a Muslim goes from this earth and the eldest son would have to read qada prayers for this Muslim. La ilaha illallah. What state are we in? And with what face do we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh Allah! We cannot. My brothers and sisters, Please remember this. None of your obligations, specifically your prayers, should be let go. If you haven't prayed, you have qada prayers, make sure you've already done something forbidden. Make sure that those qada prayers are done before you go from this earth. Because the immigration that is going to be there, as-salatu amududdin. Salah, namaz, is the foundation of religion. Make sure you do. If I was to ask you, can someone who has not read Fajr prayer, please put your hand up? If I was to ask you that, I haven't asked. After all that I've said, nobody would be willing. Koi hoga? Koi nahi hoga. Wo kya kahega ki nahi humne to? Haan, agar main ye kahun ki bhi namaz kar li ya matam kar liya to sab theek hai. Matam namaz sab ek hi hai. Jisne matam kar liya usse namaz padhne ki zarurat nahi hai. फिर क्या होगा? फिर सब बात करा करेंगे. हमने नहीं पढ़ी. मातम जरूर किया था. मातम जो करता है वो नमाजी होता है. बगैर नमाजी के जो मातम करता है उसके मातम खुदा को कबूल नहीं है. उसको खुदा को उसके ये मातम कबूल नहीं है. ना ये अगर खुदा को उसके ये मातम कबूल नहीं है तो इमाम हुसैन को कैसे कबूल होगा? जिसके मातम है, जिसकी वजह से वो मातम कर रहा है, वो कहता है कि जोहर का वक्त है, तीन की बरसात है, नमाज को बर्पा करो. हमारे लिए एक दिन एक रात रह गई है इस दुनिया के अंदर. हमें एक रात की मोहलत दो कि हम खुदा के सामने सिजदा करते हैं. वो कह रहे हैं कि जिसने आखिरी दम भी खुदा के सिजदे में अपनी जान को दी, जो जब आया तो सिजदे में था, जब गया तो सिजदे में था. That being for whom these people are doing matam is the one who did sijda when he came in this earth and did his sijda when he left this earth. Imam Hussain is the embodiment of Salah. Matam is important. But matam of those people who are doing their obligations. Imam Khomeini, the marja of the world, whom millions of people followed and still do. You know what he said? Imam Mikhaim, उन दस्तहाई के बरसीनाए उन नौजवान हा किधर अजा इमाम हुसैन मातम कुनन मामी खैम उन रब बोसी कुनी. He said that I would like to kiss the hands of those young men who are doing matam for the Allah of Allah Hussain Sato Salam. Here's a marja, a being who enlightened this whole world and taught the pure Islam, is saying that I would like to kiss the hands of those individuals whose hands go red because of doing matam for Imam Hussain. But these are individuals who are doing their obligations, who have committed themselves to Islam, who are willing to sacrifice their lives for Islam. And they are doing matam of Imam Hussain. A marja would like to kiss their hands. Ayatullah Brojerdi, rahmatullah alayh, he says that for a long time I had pain in my eyes. And in his Husseiniya, in his house, there were groups of matamis. People who do matam would come. He said he had a lot of pain in his eyes, and for some odd reason, the matamis, when they come, they have dirt on their faces. He said, for some odd reason, something said to me, take that dirt and put it in your eyes. Ayatollah Brojerdi rahmatullah, he says that I took the dirt from the faces of these matamis, these young men, and I put that dirt in my eyes. For the rest of his life, till he was 88 years old, he never needed even glasses. His pain went away. But are these individuals who are not doing their obligations? No, these are young men who are doing the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're doing matam of Imam Hussain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their daraja becomes so high. Worship when you're young is just like the difference between salah of ghair masoom and of masoom. Young, when you're young, when you're doing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know how much difference of your salah between an old man is? It is just like the difference between Imam Ali alayhi wasallam praying and you praying. See where the salah of Imam Ali alayhi wasallam is, and see where the salah of a ghair masoom is. The difference is that much between the salah of a young man and an old man. You have to do the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained to you. And then when you will call upon Him with izdarab in your heart, will you feel izdarab if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take your son away? Will you feel izdarab? Will you feel izdarab if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take your house away? Will you feel izdarab if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take your wife away? Will you feel istirab if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to take everything that you have away? Will you feel it? Can he do this or not? Can he take away everything that you have, yes or no? He can, but he doesn't. And because he doesn't, we have become arrogant. And in this arrogance, we have decided that even though it takes 17 minutes in a day, I will not do my namaz. Who calls when they are mustarib? If I was to put you in the ocean and there's no one around, the way you will call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that call will be truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who is calling him at the shore is not calling him properly. Someone who's at the shore can never call him properly. Why? Because he's not in istirab. Oh yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please forgive me, please, you know, give me money. But then he's going to someone else, okay, give me money. First, what he's doing is going to someone else, give me money. No, thank you, I'm not giving you. And goes another person. Goes to everybody. Once nobody gives him money, what does he do? He puts the musalla, does the wudu, and stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma rizqni bi rizqin tayyiban. What is that? First being, and the only being that can give you something is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will you feel istirab? Again, I... Araf, 5 kitne minute rahe? 5? 10 minutes. One last thing. And these are all from the teachings of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. If you can take... If you can take something from this, inshallah ta'ala, and you can implement this into your lives, that would be the true Eid for you. That would be the true Eid for you. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam is standing in the courtyard of Yazid with a toq necklace made of iron, which his wounds never healed. Because this iron necklace would get hot and would burn the skin on the neck of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. And in that toq, there were nails that they used to put for other prisoners. The nails were outside. For him, the nails were inside. He was standing in chains in front of Yazid. Is he scared? He's not scared. He's standing in front of Yazid in that condition. Actually, Yazid is scared. He's not scared. One of the Maulanas came to Pakistan, and the CCs stopped him for about a week. And one of his relatives, CCs agent, asked, if you don't know CCs, it's the same thing like your Homeland Security. CCs asked, can I see your ID, please? That's all he said. Can I see your ID, please? The person's hand starts shaking. And his hand starts shaking. It kept going, and it got to the... And it took him about 5 or 6 minutes to take the ID from the wallet and give it to him. Is that a follower of Imam Sajjad? Is he a follower of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, who's standing in front of Yazid of his time in chains and is not afraid? If something like that happens to us, we are scared. Yazid of time, if you say something, please let us live. Let us live. You want to oppress our women and kids? Just let us live. You want to do whatever you want to us? Just let us live. Can we put a voice against? No, we will not put a voice against oppression. Just let us live. Just allow us to have a center where we can come and do our prayers and read our Dua Kumail and go home. In Iraq, when the British took over, Azan was going on and the general asked, what is this? So this is call of prayers and people call for prayers and they come and they do Salah and it's like this and it's like come to the right. He said, okay, I don't need explanation of what this is. What I want to know is, would this call of prayer be any hindrance of our occupation? He said, no. He said, then let them pray as much as they want. As long as it's not going to become a hindrance on our occupying them, then they can pray as much as they want. They don't have a problem then. And this is what we're saying to them. We love humanity. I love humanity. If there's a human being in pain, my heart is in pain. If someone is suffering, my heart is in suffering. If someone does not have food, my heart is weeping. If there are individuals who can't even afford a loaf of bread. My brother, one of the relatives, he went to the convenience store. This lady used 3 cards. It was an American. She used 3 cards, and all the credit cards that she used, she did not have enough money to buy a loaf of bread and milk. And my brother felt sorry, and he gave. These are the individuals who are living in a country where people can get billions of dollars as bailout money, but they do not have enough money to buy bread and milk. Does my heart pain for that? It does. Because they are the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given the authority to the pharaohs of the time to oppress the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. The creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have the basic rights. They should be able to afford food and shelter. So many people are in tents. They are tent cities. In Detroit, you can buy a house for $700. These poor people, they went to work 9 to 5, they did 10, 12 hours to build an equity, and now their house is not even worth $700. Does my heart pain? My heart pains. We love humanity. We are the followers of those people who loved humanity, who sacrificed their lives for humanity. We are the followers of that individual when he found out, Imam Ali found out that a Jew, a woman who's Jew, that necklace, the bracelet that she had in her leg was stolen. Imam said, gathered all of his people and said, if you, on this remorse of this act, that in our territories this happened, this injustice happened to this woman who's Jew, if you guys cry and be so remorseful that you died, you have died on haq. These atrocities that have been committed for all over the humanity, we cannot stand still. In Islam, there's no color of skin. There's no color of skin. In Islam, as long as this person is a human being, the minimum relationship we have with anyone is on humanity. We are Bani Adam. We are the progeny of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We are coming from the same root. If a person decides to be a Christian, then let him be a Christian. If a person decides to be a Jew, let him be a Jew. If a person decides to be a Sikh, let him be a Sikh. If a person decides to be a Hindu, let him be a Hindu. They have freedom of choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this. There's la ikraha fid deen. There's no compulsion in accepting Islam, in accepting religion. Let them be. But let them, basic rights of honor, of dignity, of respect. We are not violent people. We love humanity. In my faith, if I was to give my life to save an innocent life, that innocent life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that this innocent life has to be a life of a Muslim. Ya Allah, Allahu Akbar. He did not say that. He said that if someone saves one innocent life, it is as if he has saved all of humanity. I come from that ideology. And this ideology was given to me by our Aimmah, by Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. I would like to be his follower. I'm not his follower. I would like to be his follower. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me that day, that on the day of judgment, he calls me, yes, you are one of my Shias. I would like to have that opportunity. I'm living for that opportunity. I don't have that yet. We need to realize these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the coming of that Imam who is going to fill this earth with peace and justice, who will give the basic rights to all of humanity, where creed and nation and color will not matter, where everybody, all of humanity, will be united under the banner of one Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to see that government. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to be able to become the followers of this Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this as of our effort in forgiveness of our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the coming of our 12th Imam as soon as possible. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma kulli waliyaka al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih. في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيب الله السلام عليك يا بائس الهدى السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين يا ابن أبي طالب السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة النساء العالمين السلام عليك يا إمام حسن المجتبى السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي السلام عليك يا صاحب العصر والزمان السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعل الله تعالى من عوانك وأنصارك ومستشهدين بين يديك السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته
Brothers and sisters, quick announcement. Tomorrow, Jummah Salat, Azan is going to be at 1:20 and Jummah Salat is going to be start at 2 p.m. Also, continuation of Maulana's speech tomorrow night. Program is going to start at Salat-e-Maghrib band at 8:30, inshallah. Or Muhammad wa ali Muhammad Salawat.
Salam alaikum. 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 Sal